From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. We are back to talk today about a couple of different things, but first we do want to mention that Google has now released a podcast app, and Locked On Chiefs is available on the Google Podcast app.
Dude, I swear it's every 5 minutes Google does something.
Imagine that. Google expanding their universe.
Right, right. But they did come up with an app specific to podcasts, and we are on it. One of the initial onslaught of pods that are available. So if you are an Android user and you're not happy with your current pod software, give it a shot. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. I'm the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. I just wish that Google allowed reviews, ratings and reviews.
Yeah. And maybe that's a part of the platform they'll get to. We will see, because it's they're always trying to do something to compete with somebody else. And the market share that iTunes has, I think you're going to see something like that come about. But
you would hope.
And if you missed our show yesterday, go back and check that out. We have a third member now. Seth Kaiser from The Athletic has joined us. He is going to be on a schedule, as we all have different priorities in terms of what we have to accomplish each week, especially when the season rolls around. Seth's writing there. Chris is writing at Locked On Chiefs. I'm doing RGR. So we're going to have kind of a hit or miss as we all come up with different combinations of who's going to be on the show every day. It won't be all three of us every day, but you will get some of that. We're still going to continue to have a ton of guests from all different facets that either cover the Chiefs or can bring insight to the NFL in general. So keep it here. This is going to be a great season, and we're really pumped about where it's going.
Yes, we are, and there are going to be hopefully some more announcements coming in the near future, but we will see how that turns out. So on to the news, which is not a ton of news right now, but Emmett Thomas was recognized.
Yeah, and that's really nice to see, I got to say. After so much time, and it was funny because it was the Pro Football Writers of America who did recognize him. And yes, maybe that's not, you know, the College Football Hall of Fame or the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I've seen a lot of people be like, well, it's just the writers. Well, the writers cover this league. The writers make the all-pro teams. The writers decide who goes in the Hall of Fame. So that's significant. And I think that them choosing to give a lifetime achievement award, devotion to the game, to Emmett Thomas, I think that's really telling. And as much as you want to talk about how young this football team is, especially in the secondary, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, Emmett Thomas is a voice of eras past, still leads this team in total interceptions. And I think it's just so unique to have that kind of guy with this kind of award in the room.
Absolutely. And you know that he's going to be keeping that award accomplishment for quite some time now. At this point, there's not going to be anybody that's going to be close to him at this point, I don't think. We will see if that changes over the next couple of years. Hopefully the Chiefs can find a DB that will have a bunch of picks. We can definitely use that. So, but yeah, it's a great deal to see him get honored.
And I think it's almost like that kind of, it allows, I think, the dynamic in the room with the DBs to be a little bit more than like what you might see normally in a good cop, bad cop, or especially teams that have a single secondary coach. But what you get to see is the older guy, the grandfatherly type persona, and then you get Al Harris, who can ramrod and be the aggressive type guy that he was as a player. In fact, if there's one coach on this staff that I wish we got to talk to more, it's Al Harris.
No, and that would be a great person to be able to talk to more. Him and Emmett both have their work cut out for him this year. So it will be a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll get to hear more from Al Harris during training camp.
Yeah, for sure. And we will be with bated breath. And we're still trying to figure out what our coverage is going to be, who's going to be there when, who we're partnering with. But we are going to have some things for you, so keep that in mind. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about the actual players, but I first want to start with how the secondary has to progress. And it's kind of a lot of questions at this point in time, a lot of young guys, and we've talked about that all through OTAs. But the overriding thing is you lost an all-pro player in Marcus Peters. Lost, or I guess tossed, is probably a better way to put it.
Well, absolutely a better way to put it. And that's not going to make people happy, but that's the truth.
It is the truth. And they chose to part with him, and that's just the way it is. But when you look at it from a secondary perspective, and you hope to get more pressure up front, and obviously that's the other side of the wall, and we will talk about that in this run up to training camp. But that youngness, that aggression, youth will make mistakes, but it will make up in athleticism. It will overthink some things and not react well enough, but it has better chance at recovering. And I think that's really what we have to see here. And I don't think that's that position group's alone. I think what they've done in steering this coaching staff in general has been a positive this year, especially amongst the linebackers. And that's, I don't want to let that go just because we're going to talk about the secondary in particular today. But what's your impression of what you expect them to get out in the rooms every day, being able to be split between inside and outside?
Well, I think we've talked about the inside and outside linebackers, them having their own coach. I think that's a fantastic deal and a fantastic development for Kansas City overall, just because their positions are so different. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was about to echo you, because the difference is just the volume of mental repetition, of film repetition that you can do in the room every single day. If you heard the quote that we talked about from Reggie Ragland a couple days ago, last week sometime anyway, more than a couple days, it was specific to, there were times in the meeting room where he could just tune out because it was not talking about the responsibilities of the inside linebackers. And that leads to downtime. It leads to lost mental reps. And when you split them, the volume of keys and recognition and general awareness of formations and play types and giveaways, the whole nine yards, it just adds that much more. It's more preparation up front. I don't think it's just the persona of having a coach to dissect what you're doing physically every game. I think it really pays off in the film study.
No, absolutely, and it gives them, like you said, the ability to pick up on things that they necessarily wouldn't have been picking up on before, and the coaches are going to be talking in their specific language, and you can say that linebackers play football and it's all the same, but it's really not. There are a lot of big differences, and that's kind of an obvious statement that there's big differences between inside linebackers and outside linebackers, but leverage is also a huge difference between the two positions. And your ability to use leverage and talk about it, and just the basic concepts of football in general, it's kind of surprising to me that they only had one coach for that group.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I'm glad to see them reorganize. We have a lot to talk about in terms of the secondary and the guy that's back that's leading it, number 29. We're going to come back in a second and start with him. Now, lost among the players that have performed in OTAs and minicamp this offseason, we've had a lot to talk about. Opposite the new quarterback, that seems to be the two groups on the field that are making plays. We're not talking about the lines a whole lot. But the guy that's been really quiet, that is really the rock, not only of this defense, but in particular the secondary, is Eric Berry. And just that guy. Yeah, right? I hope that everybody remembers what Eric Berry actually means to the day-to-day focus of this team. I still look back at 2017 and feel like they overachieved for having lost their defensive leader week one.
Yeah, and I really hate going down this path, but I thought of something when we were talking about the DBs earlier, and I think it's going to be something that's going to play out over the next few seasons that we're going to watch. When you look at how this roster is constructed and the money that they have spent right now, they have so much roster space that they're going to be able to and money that they're going to be able to spend on the defense in the future, because they don't have an expensive quarterback. But they have a lot of money invested in the offense right now. You know that's going to flip and that's going to switch in the next couple of years, because you have guys on the defensive side of the ball that are going to need to be paid. And I think that's also going to help the DB group.
It is.
That said, I do agree with you that Eric Berry is the centerpiece of this defense, and losing him last year really hurt more than, yeah. I mean, he is the centerpiece of their defense and has been for years. So, you know, when he went out with cancer, it was more of a rallying cry, but you go out with an injury, it's a lot different deal in my opinion.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think that reflects in the attitude that he's shown. And if you've missed some of the quotes, he's done a couple of press interactions where you can hear him speak in his own words. And I'll try to grab some of those for next week or maybe the week beyond when we circle back to Eric. But he's very specific that I'm about this team. If you're part of this team, I'm about you. And even though I'm the superstar all pro on this defense, even more so than Justin Houston, who I think still goes severely underrated on a national level. It just goes to show the personality that he has in order to be that open, knowing that there's all these guys that he needs and the team needs for him to bring along.
Well, and it's encouraging because you know with what he said and how he said it, that he knows he's in that role. And he's relishing in that role. He wants to bring those guys with him. He wants them to be there and to help him. And, you know, BJ's article said something, and I don't know the exact quote because I don't have it right in front of me, but or at least I saw it on Twitter about BJ talking about how Eric Berry looks at every player as a starter, and he treats them like a starter. And when you actually think about that mindset coming from the guy that really is your nucleus on the team, that's huge. If the entire team treats your entire roster like they're a starter, that completely changes the way a team is built.
Well, it does, and he's watched it happen. Because when he goes down, he has to watch the guy that's behind him have to try to play his role. And I don't care who you are. I don't care. And I get a lot of grief from folks about Dan Sorensen. And I don't care how much you like him. He's not Eric Berry. And Eric has to watch that play. He has to watch those mistakes, things that he knows mentally, if he was out there, would not be happening. And treating players, especially young players that know who he is. I mean, at this point in Eric's career, he has been in the league longer than some kids have been playing organized football. Especially if they got to high school and just started in high school, it's a possibility. Yep. But either regardless, they know his name. They've seen him play when they were in high school, when they were in college. Now they're a teammate, and that changes your whole perception. For him to treat them as though they were a starter, that's got to give a boost to everybody in the group, not just the safeties, the corners too.
Well, and it also makes you think of it as he is treating you more like. I hate saying this, but it's more like an equal. It's not exactly an equal, but it's more like an equal. I mean, he's treating them like they are equal to him because he is a starter. He's, you know, the leader of this team, and he wants what's best for this team. So to me, that's huge. I can't emphasize enough the leadership and his what's the right word for it? His importance to this team.
It's crucial. And, you know, folks have been asking lately about Ellie, his little brother, one of his little brothers, one of the twins. And as far as I know, I talked about this in RGR too. He's still unsigned as far as I know. And I think that's when you go back and you look at Elliot's one presser with the Chiefs when he was at rookie camp, you hear him talk about the bond between brothers, even though they've never played on a team together. But I think in the reverse, you have to see that Eric's probably got some of that feeling in reverse as well. And when you have guys that are the same age as your brothers and they're young and they want to play well and they are your teammates, it lends to that. And I think one of the greatest examples of that particular process is what he did, not over OTAs where they were all on the field. It was that pre, what they call it, phase one. And basically it's running and lifting. You know, it's Barry Rubens, who's the chief strength and conditioning coach. It's his part of the off season where you're building physically. And even though you can't practice and you're not supposed to be with your position coaches, you can do film and you're in the facility. You have access to film. And he led film sessions with guys like Eric Murray, who we've heard some about this preseason, and guys like Jordan Stearns, who's popped up a lot in practice reports. And it makes it makes it all come together for me that if those are the two guys that he was doing active film sessions with, it makes a lot of sense why they're the ones we're hearing their names.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that he was also doing film sessions with your boy Daniel Sorensen, but I understand why you wouldn't necessarily want to mention that one near as much.
No, if it were confirmed, I would mention it.
Fair enough. But, you know, you're right. It's huge for him to be willing to do what he is willing to do for this team. And it shows you the type of player he is. It shows you the type of person he is. And, man, if Kansas City could have 4 or 5 more Eric Berrys on this team, can you imagine where that team would go?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you have to stockpile. You have to set them up like dominoes as players are set to retire. And that's what we're seeing with Breland Speaks and Tano Passanio and the pass rushers. As Justin gets closer to his retirement age, you see them stacking pass rushers behind him. You're going to see the same thing in some of the other position groups now that they have more flexibility. And yes, Justin and Eric have the biggest salaries that we need to adjust for. But Brett Veach is clear in that he wants to be aggressive about filling holes, and that's where the holes are, unless we can get some other guys to step up and emerge as quality backups for the future.
But wouldn't you also agree that it looks like Kansas City has a new general on offense?
New sheriff in town? Yeah.
I mean, I know that we're talking about Eric Berry, but the reason I bring this up is you look at everything you are hearing about Mahomes and questions that people are asking about how he's doing and what he's doing. And I just keep getting the sense that this kid is going to be something special. And, you know, it, whether or not it's as special as I think it's going to be, I we'll see. But, you know, he definitely seems to have the leadership aspect of it down.
Yeah. And I like that duality. Actually, that gives me an idea. Let's take a quick second. We'll come back and talk about that. The duality of leadership is what your last comment kind of sparked me towards. And when you think about it, there are a lot of teams, not all of them. It's by far not like a requisite, but there are a lot of teams that have that kind of dual leadership, one on either side of the ball. You know, the Bears had Walter Payton, but they had Mike Singletary. You know, the Niners had Montana, but they had Ronnie Lott. You know, so you get this kind of back and forth where you have somebody that is equally heard on both sides of the ball, and that the other side, the guys that play the opposite side of the ball, have a tendency to listen to as well. And I think that's a great thing when you have an Eric Berry who can be vocal, more so than Justin Houston's comfortable with, it appears. And then you have Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, and you're talking about, we've already said he's the future of this franchise and whatnot, and there's not much more that needs to be said on that aspect of it. But if he can step into a leadership role in his sophomore season, what really is kind of like a rookie season for him, how big is that for this team? If he can really take charge of this offense and mold it to his talents and his abilities, Kansas City's going to be 5 years ahead of where we thought they could be. Yeah. And I know that seems like I'm putting a lot of pressure on him, but I'm really not trying to. All I'm simply saying is that I don't know that we know how special that kid is yet.
And there won't be a way to know until it happens.
Right.
And even beyond that, and I just want to say, everybody's got that, but Dan Sorensen is no Gary Fensick, just to complete the 85 Bears routine. But the thing that I like is that Eric, I mean, he's had a rough go in terms of the injuries that have kept him out. The knee, the Achilles, and obviously the cancer.
Yep.
And I'm not ready to say that he's anywhere close to winding down, but I think he's a safety that can play well into his late 30s. But he is getting there. And when you look at that, you have now a few more options, because I don't care how good you thought Marcus Peters was, and he is extremely good. I don't feel he's a leader of men. I never did.
No, I never thought he was that type of guy.
Right. Right. He was more Dale Carter than anything to me.
Yeah, I think I've been on record. I never thought he was going to be the type to really step into a leadership position. And honestly, I'm not saying I blame him, because that's not what I'm trying to say here, but that was sorely needed last year. If he could have done that, I honestly do believe he could still be here.
Yeah, it could have made a difference.
Yeah.
But the thing that I find in particular, and the way that players refer to him and the way that players are working around him, I think Kendall Fuller is a guy that could be. And I think for Kendall Fuller, not only his development on the field, he's already a very good slot guy. I think he can play outside, but I think he could still improve there. But to have the example of Eric Berry as a leader of that defense, I think that's really, really key. And I can see guys like Reggie Ragland and Kendall Fuller being the leaders on this team in another 4 years.
Well, and I would also say that I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Hitchens is in that mix as well.
Very well could be.
I've been impressed by the way he's handled things. He's a guy that came in and signed a big contract, and he was a pro's pro about it. If you really think about it, he could have come in here and said, "Hey, I want your number," or "Hey, I'll buy your number." He didn't. He's taken that kid under his wing. He's trying to spend as much time with him as he can, and he wants to be a big part of this defense. And to me, that's all you can really ask for from a free agent.
Yeah. And that's really the key to it. So I think they're going to make a nice tandem. I know that they're putting in time for what Reggie has had to say. I haven't heard Hitchens speak publicly yet, but we'll look at that as well. But I think all in all, the things that have to happen in order to reset the foundation of a defense are happening. And that's a good thing to see at this point in the season. And they're going to continue to do more. And we're going to continue to do more. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Seth will be back with us. Like I said, we're working out the schedule. So it'll be a little flexible until camp, and then we'll settle down. But we appreciate you guys hanging with us. I hope you're as excited as we are about where this is going and the new evolution of the podcast, as well as the other things multimedia and print-wise that we're doing. So please follow The Athletic, follow Locked On Chiefs, follow all the Twitter accounts that are in the show notes, and check out RGR if you would. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.